I came here to Nimbin for the festival and to prepare the festival for the festival. So I was here some months earlier, as were many others. We actually had a small festival amongst the festival makers in Easter that year, before the actual festival in May. And there were a couple of hundred people involved in that. It was, you know, who were the preparing the festival.
I suppose the idea was that you'd, in a way, recycle these abandoned buildings in the main street of Nimbin. What condition were they in at the time?
Well, they were boarded up. I think there was only Daisy's Cafe, the butcher shop, the garage and the pub that were open. The rest of the town was boarded up, closed up, and it was a fantastic sort of find by chance. Johnny Allen and Col James were heading back to Sydney on a flight from Lismore, and they turned the wrong way. They, instead of going to Lismore, they headed north and came into Nimbin. Found an almost deserted town, dog sleeping in the middle of the road, and they looked at each other and they knew they'd found the village, the festival village. It had been Col James's role as an architectural professor from the University in Sydney and his students to build a festival village, having discovered an already built festival village. Was obviously a great find for him.
And for you as an artist, I suppose it meant that you stumbled upon a blank canvas.
Well, yeah, not straight away. I didn't realise that, but I started painting murals on the wall in the Rainbow Cafe. And then I thought, wow, you know, this could keep going outside and paint the town. So I went to Graham Dunstan and told him the idea, see if he would finance the paint, and so it happened. I started doing the Rainbow Cafe with Rainbow Stars, and other artists from the group jumped in, and, you know, in no time we had the town painted.
And we're sitting opposite one of your murals. You're known as the father of psychedelic art. How do you feel about that title?
Well, it's hard to live up to. When you get a title like that, you've got to prove yourself. But I'm trying.
And so what about your first psychedelic mural in the main street here? What was the idea behind that?
Well, at that stage, it was just colour. You know, it was just rainbows. In fact, the Rainbow Cafe, rainbow seemed to be the theme. I don't know how that came about, but it just did, you know. And now it's called the Rainbow Region, this whole area from Coffs Harbour to the border. And there are a lot of rainbows to be seen around here because it rains a lot. And then the sun comes out.
Tell me about this mural that we're sitting opposite. It's got a kangaroo and two emus looking at each other. Of course, lots of colour. And then a man, a checkered man in the middle.
Checkmate, which is the central character in it. It was first done in by me as a painting, a fluorescent ultraviolet painting that glows in the dark of Checkmate, 1983. And it was three-dimensional with the prismatic Fresnels. It becomes 3D in the dark with a glowing paint under UV light. And that's basically what my psychedelic style was, to use ultraviolet light, fluorescent paint which glows in the dark, and soundtrack usually. And then my first exhibition at Central Street in 1967 was that. It was the gallery was blacked out, paintings were glowing on the walls. There was no 3D glasses at that stage. That came to me through my 10-year-old son, who walked into my studio and offered me a pair of these glasses and said, "Dad, look at your paintings through these." with my paintings, which were fluorescent UV under ultraviolet light, I realised then that all my paintings since 1966 were 3D.
How fantastic.
Oh, yes, what a great gift from my 10-year-old son.
In the late 1960s, some of your work was picked up by the National Gallery of Victoria, and that was when you sort of began making quite a name for yourself. And then you decided to give it away and move to Nimbin, and you stayed here for several years. What was that just thought process like?
Well, with the alternative, I think I have to go back to Timothy Leary on this. He said simply, turn on, tune in, and drop out. Now, in order to make an alternative community or society, you have to drop out of the one that you're in. It's as simple as that. And I happen to be in the art scene as an artist, and doing very well. I was making a lot of money, and I was getting famous. But what I didn't realise until I met some people who were buying my work, that they weren't buying it because they liked it. They were buying it because it was a tax deduction. And I thought, well, you know, I prefer to give my paintings to my friends who like them than to be a tax-dodging vehicle for wealthy people. It just seemed very unfair. And that gave me the excuse to drop out.
How does it make you feel seeing the street still alive with these colourful murals 40 years on?
This is fabulous. It's just sustainability. You know, this is what we've been on about, a sustainable lifestyle. And obviously I think this is 40 years is sort of the length of a generation. If we'd left it for another 10 years, half of us would not be here. So it had to be now. It's a unique social experiment, Nimbin, because the basic thing we had was freedom. You know, the basic thing that we really wanted to be free and allow everybody to be here. It's a form of anarchy, really, but it's creative. A creative basis. It was art and music, and it was the hippie culture, basically. And here in Nimbin, it's thriving still.